what Paul is talking about here. He starts talking about in verse 28 about what a real Jew is. Now, if I was to go to Israel, I would be more of a Jew over there unless they were converted than they are. Paul says, we are the true circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And a true Jew is a descendant of Abraham. You know, our Lord said, you know, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do Abraham's works. And they said, we're not born of fornication, we'd be Abraham's children. He said, no, you're not. You're of your father, the devil. Now, they were natural descendants of Abraham, but this business of being a Jew has to do with having the heart cleansed, the spirit made new. And so it's not this outward ceremony that you go through, the cleansing of the flesh. And that's what circumcision was, as a token of the covenant. But he said in verse 29, he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. Inwardly. Circumcision is of the heart. He cleanses the heart. He purifies the heart. He gives us a new heart. And then he says, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, not just keeping the law, not doing what the scriptures, not just doing everything that the law says, whose praise is not of men. If you keep the law and you keep circumcision, try to be saved by what you do, then men's going to praise you. God won't praise you. God won't say anything about you but curse you. But he says, but of God, if God makes a man a new creature, then God gets the glory for it. God gets the glory for it. Well, then he says, well, what in the world advantage has a Jew then? What profit is there of circumcision? He's talking about Israel now. Well, much in every way. And the reason, the chief reason being, because unto them were committed the oracles of God. God gave the Bible to them, gave them the prophets, gave them Moses, gave them the law, gave them the tabernacle, gave them all the rituals, gave them all the ceremonies. The Lord Jesus Christ came. He gave them the Word of God. No other nation had the Word of God but Israel. But then he goes on to say, well, what if some did not believe? What if some of these Jews do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Well, if they're Jews and they don't believe, does that mean that their unbelief is going to make God's faith, that God gives faith and the Word of God, is it going to make it just null and void because they refuse to believe? God forbid. No. And that's what some people do. You know, they say, I just don't believe like you do. Is that going to change the Word of God? Is it going to affect my faith? Is it going to make what God teaches any different? When I was an unbeliever, did it change God's Word?
No, sir.
When people told me about Christ, did it? And I said, well, he's just a prophet. That's what I used to think. He's just a prophet, no better than any other prophet. Did that, but my ideas of him, my conception of him, did that have any effect on him? Or anybody else's faith? Anybody that had faith at that time, whatever I'd tell them I believe, did that affect their faith? Huh? And then what he says here, shall their unbelief make God a liar? That's what he's saying. God forbid, yet let God be true, but every man be a liar. Will their unbelief make God a liar? Huh? And that's what they do when they put their reason and their unbelief in the place of God's Word. And so Paul goes on down here to say, and that's what my subject is today, let God be true. But he says, and it is written that thou might be justified. And this is out of Psalm 51, that thou mightest be justified in thy saying. Whatever you say is right, you're going to clear yourself. And so when you judge a man, you're overcome. And that's what David said. It's against you and you only that I've sinned, that you might be clear when you judge me. I'm admitting what I am. And whether I admit it or not, you're going to be justified in whatever you do to me. And that's what Paul's saying. He said, let whatever a man believes, whatever he confesses, whatever he owns, God's going to be justified in whatever he does with that person. Whatever he does with my children, your children, me, you, or anybody else in this world. Paul says, I don't care what you say, what you believe, it ain't going to change what God says. And I don't care how much you reason, what your opinion is, and what you think of yourself, and what you think of the Scriptures. He says the thing is that God Almighty will be clear and just in whatever, however He deals with you in this world. That's what He's saying here. And then He says, but if our unrighteousness, and that's what people say. They say, well, you fellas, you know, if you just believe this, that, and the other, you can live anyway. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? If us living unrighteous, going back under the law, trying to be saved by what we think or what we feel. He says, will our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God? Is us living unrighteous going to commend the righteousness of God? Oh, no. What shall we say then? Well, then how in the world will God take vengeance then if our unrighteousness makes Him appear more righteous? God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? And here He goes on to say, this is what men say. They accuse us of everything under the sun. For He says, if the truth of God hath abounded through my lie unto His glory, why then does God judge me yet as a sinner? If I'm lying on God and not telling the truth about God and not believing the truth about God, is the lie that I tell on God going to bring Him more glory? Huh? Well then, if that's so, why is God then going to judge me like I'm a sinner then? A lie is a lie. There's no such thing as a white one. You know, it's just a little white lie. No such thing. And then He says, not rather, and this is what they slanderously report about us, let's do evil that good may come. Let's just live any way we want to. And I tell you, if you preach the gospel clear enough, plain enough, you're going to be accused of giving men a license to sin. But that's not so. That's not so. And now, look there in verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, and every man a liar. Now, you know, we've heard it, and you've often thought this yourself, I'm sure. And we hear from others, and they've asked us this question, what about all the religious people? What about the heathens? What about people in all these other countries that don't believe like you do? Are they lost? Well, Billy Graham and Robert Schuller come to the conclusion that God saves people all over the world just as long as they walk in what little light they have, whether it's a pagan light, no matter what God they worship, as long as they're sincere seekers. Said they don't have to have a Bible. They don't even have to hear about Jesus Christ. So when all, when you know, and religious people, they'll say, what about all religious people? The heathens who don't believe like you do, are they lost? A fellow asked me that question one time, come to church, and said, the way I understand it, you're the only one who believes around here that you know the gospel. I said, as far as I know, I am. As far as I know, I'm the only one preaching it. The very fact that you're here trying to prove me wrong shows it to. And then he started saying all the things that you teach, you know. But are they lost? A person who does not believe in God's immutable sovereignty. God is immutably sovereign. He does what He will in this world for whom He will and when He will. Yes, that He rules and reigns in this world and does according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and nobody can stay His hand or say unto Him, what are you doing? If a man doesn't believe that, what about it? What about man's absolute utter ruin? If a person doesn't believe a man is absolutely, completely ruined by sin, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, drinks iniquity like it's water, born with enmity in his heart against God, have sins in his bone from his youth, the Scripture says. Can a man be saved who does not believe in man's utter and total inability to please God in any way? God just got through saying it is written, there's none righteous.
That's right.
You reckon God's lying on us? There's none that doeth good. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. You reckon God don't know what He's talking about when He talks about us? What? Huh? Man, can a man be saved who doesn't believe in man's utter ruin? Is a person lost who doesn't believe in God's purpose in redeeming sinners by Jesus Christ? Can you believe that Jesus Christ died for every man, and now it's up to man and his faith to accept and make that blood of Christ effectual? Can a man be saved who thinks that his free will is the determining factor in his salvation? Can a man know Christ who believes that Jesus Christ died for every man and just made salvation possible and opened a door? And if you'll take your opportunity when it's given to you and walk through that door, you'll be saved? And that the only difference in you and somebody that's lost is your faith? Well, I'm going to tell you the answer to that question about the heathen religious people. The only answer we have to go by is the Scriptures, the Word of God. Nothing else. And oh, let's let God be true and every man a liar. And oh, let me show you a couple of things before I get into this message. Look over in Isaiah chapter 8, just a moment. Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. All we have to go by is the Scripture. He said here in Isaiah, verse 19, it says this, "And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits." That's going to people who call themselves predictors of the future, palm readers, that kind of stuff. "And unto wizards that peep." And what that word peep means, they're looking into things that they don't know nothing about. They say, "I can see into the future, and I can see this going to happen for you. I can see that happening for you." And watch what happens. "And that mutter." And that's what these people in Pentecostalism say. "Wait a minute. Oh, the Lord's telling me something. The Lord's telling me something. Wait till he gets through telling me, and I'll tell you what he said." Pentecostals doing that all over this world right now. That kind of stuff. "And that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead?" Living people going to go to a dead God? What? "To the law." And the law here means all the Word of God.
Yes.
"To the testimony." What testimony? God's testimony. "If they speak not according to this word," whoever you go to, whoever you seek counsel from, whoever you want to have understanding from, "if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them." Huh? Look in Isaiah 65 with me just a moment. Isaiah 65. And I don't want to be hard, I don't want to be mean, but I mean, we got to deal with this. We got to face these Scriptures, you know, and answer these questions for ourselves and according to the Scriptures. Talking about the Word of God, believing the Word of God. "Let God be true and every man a liar." God said here in Isaiah 65, "I am sought of them that ask not for me." No, Isaiah 66, I'm sorry. Isaiah 66. As quick as I read that verse, I know that wasn't right. Isaiah 66 and verse 1. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? Where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord." Always have been. But look what this said. "But to this man I'm going to look. I'm going to look to him. I'm going to keep him. I'm going to preserve him. He's mine. Even to him that is of a poor and a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word, scared to death to ever say anything about it other than what it says. To trust my own opinion, to trust my feelings." All right, back over here in Romans 3. He says there, "But oh, shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Just because they say, well, God wouldn't do this, God wouldn't do that, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. Is that going to change anything? Yea, let God be true and every man a liar." And I know, according to the Word of God, talking about people saved or lost, I know whether they're in religion or out of religion, whether they're heathen, whether they're pagan, wherever they're Jew or Gentile or bond or free, male or female, according to the Word of God, no one is saved who is not born again. Now, ain't that right? If a man cannot be saved according to the Scripture, is not saved until he's born again. Ain't that right? Look in John chapter 3 with me. John chapter 3. This is probably the only service we'll have today, so let's take our time. Until a man is born again. And I tell you, beloved, in the Scriptures talks about the new birth over and over and over. The Old Testament's full of the new birth. Full of the new birth. Noah, when he come out on new ground, that's a typical of the new birth. Come through the storm, come through the wrath of God, come through the judgment of God, come on a new earth, only person there. Started worship, that's evidence of a new birth. But look what he said here. Our Lord Jesus said here in verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born again, and if you look in the margin, it says born again means born from above. Born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Now here's a fellow who does not believe. Here's a fellow who's questioning the Lord Jesus himself. Is that going to change what must be done for him? And that which is born of the flesh, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You come from your mother's womb, a natural man. You'll live a natural man and you'll die a natural man. And that which is born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, becomes spirit, a spiritual person. And you, and marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth, and this is the way it works. It's something that God does. The wind bloweth where it will. You hear the sound, but you don't know where it comes from and whither it's going. It's coming and going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit. And all Nicodemus, how can these things be? You mean to tell me you're a master of Israel, you don't know these things? So, beloved, I don't care who you are, where you're from, or anything else, until a man is born again, let God be true and every man a liar. Like that infant that was cast out. That baby was cast out to the loathing of its person. Was not washed, was not swaddled, was not salted, was not purified, just thrown out in the field. Mama didn't love it, daddy didn't love it, and just bloody and nasty, right straight from the womb, and thrown out in the field. God said, I saw you. I saw you in your pollution. I saw you in your blood. I saw you that nobody pitied you. Nobody loved you. Nobody cared for you. You was in your blood. You was in your pollution. And I tell you, said it was the time of love, and I passed by you, spread my skirt over you, and listen, I said unto thee, live. Lazarus? Oh, Lord, leave him alone. This is Mary and Martha, his brother, his sisters. Lord, leave him alone. He's stinking. He's been dead 4 days. He's swelled up. He stinks. He's corrupt. Oh, he stinks. He's awful. He's dead. He's always. Don't open that tomb. Whatever you do, don't leave. Just let him go. Lazarus, I say unto thee, live. And he that was dead, I love that, he that was dead came forth. And we were dead in trespasses and sin, and God said, passed by us one day and said, live. And we sitting there, it's just lost as a white goose in a snowstorm. And then all of a sudden we hear with ears we never heard before. See with eyes we never seen before. Have a heart that desires and never desired before. What happened? The wind blew where it listed.
Yeah, bless the Lord.
Huh? And like Ezekiel, over there he said, took him down to a valley of dry bones. That's why he says, you mean to tell me you're a master of Israel and don't know these things? He said, see all them bones, Ezekiel? Oh, I see them. A valley full of bones. That'd be like going down Sequatchie Valley and you turn the corner there at the top of the mountain and the valley, that whole Sequatchie Valley, full of bones about that deep, stacked on top of one another, bleached out. Can these bones live? Oh, listen. Ezekiel had sense enough to say, Lord, you're the only one who knows that. And he said, I'll tell you what, you start preaching to them. Start preaching to him. And I tell you what, he never backed up a hair's breadth and said, Lord, that's the dumbest thing I ever heard tell of. He said, you start preaching to him. And boy, he began to preach. Bone began to hook to bone. Bone began to hook to bone. Next thing you know, there's a whole bunch of skeletons down there.
That's right.
Now he said, I tell you what else you do. You prophesy to the wind, say, wind blow. The wind blows. And you tell them the flesh to come upon them. Flesh came upon them. Tell the wind to blow, and the wind blow. Life came into them. Oh, dead bones live when God speaks to them. Ain't that right? And that's what I'm telling you, beloved. Except a man be born again. And that's something you can't do for yourself. You can't do that for yourself. You can, Baptist, you can get up here, and I can duck you in this water once a year from now to the time I'm dead, you're dead. And that won't wash away one sin. That won't change your nature. That won't change your mind. That won't change your will. Only God can change your mind, change your will, change your nature, change your heart, change your reason, change everything. Only God can do that.
Amen.
And I'm grateful that He does and He can. And you know, and as old Scott Richards has said all the time, he said this so many times, he says, you know, you can come to Christ without moving a muscle, but I tell you what, if you start coming to Christ, it's because Christ already gave you life. If the minute you start to Christ, you're already there, and the only reason you start coming to Him is because He's already given you life.
Yes, sir.
Dead men don't come to Christ. Dead men don't call on Christ. Dead men don't understand the Scriptures. God's got to give them life. Before there's ever belief, ever faith, got to be life. Before there's repentance, there's got to be life. Before there's ever praying, it's like a baby when it's born. That baby comes out of there and got all that mucus and all that stuff in his nose and he starts sucking his sweater and cleaning his mouth out. Ah! That cry didn't mean that it was alive. It just gave evidence that it was alive. It was alive in his mama's womb. It just comes out there and crying gives us evidence that it's alive. It's a healthy baby. And that's the same thing that God does when He brings you out and gives you that new birth. You start crying. Whoa! You know, and I'll tell you something else. Let God be true and every man a liar. Talking about folks, what they think. Nobody is saved who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody. Huh? Our Lord Jesus Himself said, except ye believe that I am.
Yeah.
I am. Who is I am? Moses, go down and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, who am I going to say sent me? Say, I am that I am sent you. Self-existent, eternal, God of all glory and power. And my, I am! Mm-hmm. Not I was, not I will be, I am, the eternal I am. Tell them I sent you. Now, Lord Jesus said, except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sin. Huh? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Look here in Romans 3:20 with me just a moment. Oh, listen. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, by I mean trying to be saved by what you do, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For all the law gives you is a knowledge of sin. But now, watch this, I love this, but now the righteousness of God without the law, without the Ten Commandments, without the ceremonial law and ritual, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed. The law and the prophets gave witness to it. They always said this. That a man couldn't be justified by the law. That's why they had sacrifices for sin, because they knew that man couldn't keep the law. And that's why they had a priest. That's why they had an altar. That's why they had bloodshedding. It's because man couldn't keep the law.
Amen.
And oh, beloved, now listen, even the righteousness of God What is this righteousness of God? I want that righteousness. I need to know what it is. That's what I want. Whatever God's righteousness is, that's what I need, it tells me. If I can't have a righteousness by my doing, I need someone else's righteousness. Even the righteousness of God, which by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. And there ain't no difference in Jew or Gentile, bond and free. Huh? And all, beloved, that's why if a man doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus, and I'm not talking about just some historical facts, but in a living person, a living Lord, someone who's alive, someone sits at the right hand of God now, a person, we come to a person. We don't come to a work, we come to a person who did a work. We don't come to facts, we come to a person. We come to someone who has all power, all authority, someone, beloved, though he lived on this earth, that's historical fact. He was crucified outside Jerusalem a little over 2,000 years ago, that's a fact. He was buried, and a Friday evening, early Sunday morning, he arose from the dead. He appeared for 40 days and 40 nights to a multitude of people. And then one day, at the end of that 40 days, he ascended back up into glory. And he set out at the right hand of God after he had put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Those are facts.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, beloved, facts don't save me. A person saves me. A person bore my sin. A person died on the cross. A person satisfied God. A person's blood was what was shed. Ain't that right?
Yes, sir.
We come to a person. It's a historical fact that I'm married. I got a wedding ring to prove it. I got license to prove it. But I don't want to go to bed with my wedding ring and my license. I want to go to bed with a person. I want somebody, a living person, to hug up to and keep me warm when it's cold.
Yeah.
I want to drink coffee with a person. I want to sit down and have a meal with a person. And so what I'm telling you is we come to a person, not facts. And oh, beloved, and I tell you, fly to Him. Fly to Him. Oh my, run to Him, cleave to Him, call on Him, beg Him, fall before Him, and say, Lord, I'm nothing and You're everything. I'm nobody, but You're everybody. I have nothing, but You have everything. Would You please have mercy on me? And I tell you, you'll fly to Him for refuge, and it'll be inevitable if you ever see Him. If you ever see him, you will come to Him. And once you start coming to Him, you'll always, always, always be coming to Him.
All right.
Huh? That's what our Lord says, come unto Me. No man comes to the Father but by Me. And no matter what anybody says, nobody's saved who's not born again. Nobody's saved who does not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't, you know that fellow that come talk to me, he said, was your experience that saved you or was it Christ? Because he told me this wild experience he had. Lights, things that happened, and I said, well, was it your experience that saved you or was it Christ that saved you? He said, it was both. I said, it can't be both. It can't be both. And you know, I've had experiences, man, alive. Oh, I've had experiences. But I do not trust in one feeling I've got. Sometimes I feel down, sometimes I feel up, sometimes I feel lifeless, sometimes I feel like I'm on fire. I don't trust in any experience I've ever had. And I've had them, and I will have them again. I'm trusting in one person and what God said about him. That's who I'm trusting. You?
That's right.
And let me tell you this. Yea, let God be true and every man a liar. A man does not know and is not saved who has not heard the gospel. Now I want you to understand this right here. A man is not saved who has not heard the gospel. And there ain't but one gospel. Huh? Paul said, told the Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another gospel. He said it's a perversion of the gospel. What was the perversion of the gospel? Adding anything to the gospel, anything to Christ. I don't care if it's a hair on a, if it's as fine as a frog hair on the scale. If you put it in there with Christ, you don't know Him.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's right. And that's what the gospel teaches us. And that's why Paul said, if I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than I preach, let God curse that man. Let God curse him. Look over here in Ephesians with me right quick. Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, we got to know something about this gospel. And why I know is because I can talk about these things because I've been back there. I've been back there when I said, oh, God wouldn't be fair if He didn't do this. And God wouldn't be fair if He didn't do that. And, oh my, well, surely, my prayers is carrying some weight with God. I'd get off on the hillside and, you know, they could hear me praying 2 miles away. Oh, you know, people could hear, what's the matter, brother John? I heard Donnie up there hard in the woods. Anything wrong with him? No, he's just up there praying. Just up there praying. Y'all know exactly. Y'all been through this yourself. Y'all been through this yourself. But look what he said here in Ephesians 1 and verse 12. That we should be to the praise of the glory of Christ, praise of His glory who first trusted Christ. Now watch this. In whom ye also trusted.
Yes, sir.
After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Now I'm asking you, did you hear the word of truth? And when you heard that word of truth, did it become the gospel of your salvation?
Yes, sir.
You see, the gospel, Paul said, it's my gospel. Everybody says, you know, all of us say, the gospel. My gospel. There was a gospel that came to me one day and I heard it. I heard the word of truth. And that when I heard it, that gospel became my gospel, became the gospel, the good news of my salvation. And watch what he says. In whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Huh? So you see, and I'm telling you something, beloved, the gospel is definable. The gospel is called the gospel of God, not the gospel of man plus his free will, not the gospel of man plus his best he's doing, the gospel of God. The gospel of his grace. The gospel that gives him all the glory. Anything that takes away from the glory of God in any way is not the gospel. And it concerns his son. Look back with me over in Romans chapter 1 just a moment. And this is, you know, this gives me some hope when I hear these things and see these things and know these things. That what I believed and all the things that I've done with all my legalism and all my fundamentalism, it did not change the truth of God whatsoever. Did it? Uh-huh. I remember talking to preachers who believed this stuff and I'd say, well, what about this and what about that? And I'd ask them questions and stuff like that. Did what I believe, I never forget, and they'd just answer me. My belief and what I was trying to convince him of did not change their faith, what they believed, or the Word of God at all. And that's what they're saying. Well, let God be true and you're the liar. God certainly ain't going to be a liar. If you don't believe what He says, you're the liar. Huh? The Scripture said over 1 John 5:10. It said over there, we have the witness, he that trusts Christ has the witness in himself. He that receives not the testimony of God, who does not believe on God's Son, hath made him a liar. Made God a liar. Look here in Romans chapter 1, verse 4. Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called of God to be an apostle. Watch this. Separated under the gospel of God. Separated under the gospel of God. That's how important this is, that God separates a man to preach that gospel. Which he had, and what is this gospel? It's the gospel he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You know, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. How that He was buried according to the Scriptures. That He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, what is this that He promised by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures? Well, it's concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel concerns. The Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one Son of God, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, raised up to be on the throne, the rightful king to the heir of David, the throne of David, and declared to be the Son of God with power. What power? The Holy Ghost power, the Spirit of God in the Scriptures, in God's Word. And according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. So you see, beloved, the gospel concerns His Son. And that's what He says down in verse 16. Listen to this now. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. Why ain't you ashamed of it, Paul? Because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone believes. Why is it the power of God? For therein God reveals how He can be righteous. And the righteousness of God you've got to have. And it's written that the just don't live by law, don't live by deeds, don't live by flesh, don't live by what they think, feel, say, or do. They live by faith. And oh, beloved, I tell you, the gospel of God is how God can be just. And there's 3 points to the gospel. And let me just mention them real quick. 3 points. And these 3 points right here will tell you what the gospel is. Sin. Man is lost, helplessly lost. He's a sinner from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. How are you going to deal with that sin? Who's going to put it away? God, if He's just, He's got to punish you for that sin. He will not clear you. All right. Well, then somebody then has to bear your sin. Somebody has to take your place. That's substitution. Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree.
Yes, sir.
The just for the unjust. God made Him to be sin. And so you see, Christ was the Lamb of God. So our sins was put on Him. God just to do that. Because Christ willed to do it. Christ delighted to do it.
Amen.
God covenanted. Christ covenanted to do it. And then that substitution, that lamb that was offered, that blood that was shed, that one who stood in our place with sin on Him. Now, do you reckon He satisfied the justice of God with the sin that was put on Him when He died and God poured out His wrath on Him and justly condemned Him to death for bearing our sins on Him? Did He satisfy God's justice? If it was, is God's justice then put back in His sheath? And all for whom Christ died, now God looks upon them and say, I justify them because my Son put their sin away. And they look to Him for everything.
All right. Amen.
3 words. And let me ask you, have you heard that gospel? Or another one? Let me tell you this. Let me look in Romans 10 back there. Romans 10. And I know this, regardless of what people say, I never will forget it. And I'll tell you who it was. When we began to learn the gospel and understand the gospel, Billy Mitchell was at my house one time. And him and his wife both said, well, what you all believe now? There ain't no hope for no heathen. There ain't no hope for no people in these foreign countries. He said, well, God cannot be God if He don't give a man a chance, no matter where he's at on the face of this earth. He said, you all are making God too sovereign. And he had claimed to believe this for a long time. And out of the mouth of babe says, how in the world can God be too sovereign? How can He be too sovereign? And you're making man too dead. When a man's dead, I mean, this is the moment the life leaves him, he's as dead as he'll ever be. He may not be cold yet, but his life's gone. And what we believe gives God all the glory. Now, did his ideas and his sayings and that, did it change the faith of God? Did it change what God had already told me? And we parted ways that day. And been parted ways for all them years. And he gets up and says, I feel sorry for that poor old preacher over. I've done him so much good. I helped him so much. And he went off the deep end on this election predestination. If I went off the deep end, buddy, I tell you what, it's a wonderful place to be.
All right.
I'm just as happy as if I had good sins. I'm swimming in it. I'm like old Martyr. Just dive in and soak your soul in this. Because it gives God all the glory. I don't have to get up here and tell you what you need to do. And all that. No, no. And all right, I tell you, nobody's saved who believes, who is ignorant of the righteousness of God. Now, what I mean by that, man's not saved until he's born again. Man cannot say he's saved until he believes the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him and him alone. A man cannot be saved who does not believe the gospel and heard the gospel. You've got to hear the gospel. And fourthly, a man is not saved who is ignorant of the righteousness of God. Look here in Romans 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He just got through saying over there that they had a lot of advantages in being a Jew. But here he is, he's praying that they might be saved. For I go on record before God, before them, and even the Word of God, that they have a zeal of God. But their zeal is based on ignorance, not according to knowledge. How do you know, Paul, for they're being ignorant of God's righteousness? How do you know they're ignorant of it? They're going about to establish their own. Well, I know I was saved. I went to that altar and I felt this goosebumps run down me. And I saw this light. And I quit my sin. And I quit smoking even. I threw my tobacco away. I changed, I took off my... I heard one woman say, I know I'm saved, preacher. I took off my britches. That's an awful thing to trust in. I got saved. I went from wearing pants to wearing skirts. But that was a time we all felt like that, didn't we? Boy, we know. You could always tell who was religious, and we was religious enough. Remember years ago, we'd go swimming, and you girls would wear skirts, and you'd pin them in here because you wouldn't even put on a bathing suit. You reckon we knew anything about God back then?
No.
Couldn't have had a clue. Couldn't have had a clue. Couldn't. Ignorant. Ignorant of God's right. How do we know? We was doing our dead level best to build us a house. A house that God can look on and say, boy, that's a fine building. I'm working on a mansion. I'm building a bridge. I'm building it strong and I'm building it wide. If anybody makes it to heaven, Lord, surely I will. Oh, ignorant of God's righteousness. How do you know? All you got to do is read the scriptures and look at people. And have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. They haven't bowed down, submitted, and said, Lord, I want your righteousness. I don't want mine. I don't want anything to do with myself, my flesh, my deeds, my doing. And they have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. What is the righteousness of God? Christ is the end, the fulfillment, the goal for righteousness. Now watch this. To everyone that believes. Believes. Believe. Righteousness don't have to have anything with doing. It has to do with believing. It don't have to do with working. It has to do with resting. Yeah. It don't have to do with being busy. It has to do with standing still. Ain't that right? Huh? And all of it. Have you heard that? Have you that righteousness that God's given? That's why Paul said, if righteousness come by the law, and this really, really got me when I understood it, clear as a bell. If righteousness come by the law, by anything we've done, if God could have given a law that would have given us righteousness, he says, then Christ would have not died. And if righteousness come by the law, by us doing, then Christ is dead in vain. You come to God with anything other than Jesus Christ, and you're saying that the death of Christ is in vain. There was no purpose in the death of Christ. That's what you're saying if you come by your own righteousness. Huh? Well, I'm done. I'm going to say one more point. No one is saved. I don't care religious, pagan, heathen, black, white. I don't care where they're from, China, Russia, wherever they're from. Who doesn't continue in the faith? Not born again, don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, who've not heard the gospel, who are ignorant of the righteousness of God, and who doesn't continue in the faith. If you can quit, you will one of these days. If you can walk away from the gospel, one of these days you will, won't you? We've seen it happen too many times. He said, they went out from us because they were not of us. For if they were of us, there's no doubt they would have continued with us. Now that's a pretty strong statement. That means that a man really believed in what he taught, and what he believed, and what he taught his people, and what John taught those folks was, he says, what I'm telling you is the truth, and you believe that, and if you believe what I'm telling you, and you believe the gospel, and you believe the truth, you'll continue right in that same gospel. You'll continue right in that truth. You ain't got no place else to go. And he says, if you don't continue with us, that's because you were never of us. Huh? And all... Oh my. Look with me in John chapter 8 real fast and I'll be done. That's why, you know, we are them that believe to the saving of the soul. We are them that believe to the saving of the soul. And I've said this 100 times. I know I've said it at least 100 times over the years. That if I quit, if I go to another gospel, if I quit and I leave the gospel and I just decide to stay home, I don't have to go back to the world, just decide to stay home, twiddle my thumbs, prop up my feet, whittle, spit, enjoy my kids, enjoy my grandkids, whatever. If I decide to do that and not attend the gospel anymore, not attend where the worship is, not attend where somebody's telling the truth on God, you know the first thing you ought to say about me? Johnny Bell quit. He don't believe the gospel. And why, if he don't believe it now, he never did believe it.
We live by it.
That's our life. Christ, who is our life.
Yeah, we live.
This is not just facts I'm trying to tell you. Not just a little outline I'm trying to give you. Huh? And oh, look here in John 8, verse 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, are you my disciples indeed? Listen. Folks leave and they'll leave because they're mad at somebody. They'll leave because their feelings get hurt over this, that, or the other. Let me tell you something. There's, no matter what the reason is, if you leave the gospel, you leave Christ. Because Christ and the gospel is one and the same. His disciples, they said, you know, Christ said, no man come unto me except the Father has sent me draw him. They turned around and said, Lord, that's a hard saying. Who can hear it? And among two disciples turned away and walked with him no more. You know what he said? Turned to the 12 and said, you going to walk away too? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words. Continue in my word. You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm sure of that. Our Father, in the blessed, holy, glory.